Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Breaking news. If you haven't heard, Elon Musk buys Twitter. A done deal. What does this mean for Twitter? I guess, what does it mean for the future of free speech? And then maybe what does it mean for the share price of Twitter? I think those are all questions that are independent of one another. Very similar to asking the question, is the dollar going up or is the dollar depreciating? Or, you know, it's always against what? Is the dollar depreciating against goods and services, foreign currencies, assets? And I think it's the same thing here. I wouldn't say that this is quote unquote good or great. It depends on what the question is or what the objective is or what it's pertaining to. So I'll sift through those ideas in a little bit more detail throughout this video. But let's get to the headlines right now. Twitter accepts Elon Musk's buyout deal. Twitter board accepts billionaire Elon Musk's offer to buy the social media company and take it private. You can already see where they're going with this, can't you? As far as the mainstream media, you can already see what they're doing here. They're going to make Musk seem like he's Rockefeller. They're going to make Musk seem like, which is interesting because he was a darling of the media for so long. And it just goes to show you that whether you're in their good graces doesn't depend on really what you do. It depends on what the narrative is at any given time. And I guess maybe even more so how much of a threat you are to what they want to do. You know, are you conforming with their ideas and with their narrative, or are you potentially getting in the way of it? And regardless of whether or not it's the same person, they can go from hero to public enemy number one in a matter of years, if not months, if not weeks. So I just get the sense already that they're going to start making Elon Musk look like the bad guy. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve some of it, because if you look back at some of the things Elon Musk has done, I mean, my goodness gracious, he's all over the place. I mean, where's the truck, by the way, Elon? You know, where's all these promises the guy made? It's just, he's very similar to Trump. I've always said that he just says stuff. He's just a great salesman, and he'll just say stuff that, and it very rarely turns out to be true. But it's just he makes so many promises that even if like 10% of them come to fruition, he's still doing a great job. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't just lie through his teeth about the other 90%. So I don't want to let him off the hook there. But I think it's also an interesting psychological phenomenon that we as human beings tend to want to see things in black and white, and that people are good or bad. Like, oh, I think Elon Musk is great, and therefore everything about him is great. Or I think Elon Musk is bad, therefore everything about him is bad. In reality, I think we're all a combination of good and bad. It's just, you know, some people have a lot more good and some people have a lot more bad, defining that on specific moral principles. But I don't think any of us are just none of us are all or nothing. I mean, that we're all human beings. We're all flawed. And so, but I think it's fascinating how we try to put people in boxes or compartmentalize them as just good or bad. And then then you can take teams, right? You can be on team Elon Musk is good, or you can be on team Elon Musk is bad. But how many people are on team Elon Musk is both? Just depends what he's doing. Is he taking over Twitter and potentially turning it into something that's a mecca of free speech? Well, I would say that's good. Is he lying about, you know, a million driverless taxis in a year? I mean, he said this probably 4 or 5 years ago. Autonomous driving, you know, he says this, the Cybertruck, he says this. Is that good? No, but that's bad. So I guess we're all very complex at the end of the day. And I think we need to realize that and be okay with that and not have to just be steadfast in being on this team or that team. I guess there's nuance to everything above and beyond what we would like there to be, especially with human beings themselves. Okay, next key point here. The announcement ends a week-long saga. Musk kicked off when he offered to buy the company at $54.20 a share, said Best and Final. Twitter's board sought to fend off hostile takeover by adopting a so-called poison pill. Going to the article, Twitter's board has accepted an offer. Okay, this was announced Monday. The stock closed up 5.64% for the day after it was halted on the news. I didn't realize that. And here's a quote from Elon Musk where, you know, if he's serious about this, if this is not just another one of his sales pitch, well, I would put this in the category of good. He says, free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy. And Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. Musk said that in a statement, including press release announcing $44 billion deal, I also want to make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with new features, making the algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, and authenticating all humans. So there I'm a little hesitant. You know, how are you going to authenticate humans? I mean, I think that would be great if you can. I think Twitter would be way, way better if people couldn't just anonymously post. At least I know my Twitter feed would be... I deal with so many of these bots and so many trolls that just, you know, they don't have a picture of themselves, that it's just so annoying. But my concern there, you know, how are you going to authenticate all? Is this going to be facial recognition from your iPhone? Then even if Musk is benign in his objective or his strategy, I would be hesitant there because I think that could put us on a slippery slope. Where if people get conditioned to that, even if Musk has good intentions, there's going to be someone that comes along in the future that does not have those good intentions that will take advantage of the conditioning that society has been put through. I'm just a little concerned with that. Twitter has tremendous potential. I look forward to working with the company and the community of users to unlock it. So now let's first, since he talked about the potential, he's talking about the potential for growth as a company that generates revenue, therefore share price going up. I have never obviously been in charge of a publicly traded company. The largest company I started and ran had about a little over 100 employees, and a lot of those employees were part-time. But I can tell you that I have taken over companies that were headed for bankruptcy, and I was sent in to take them over and get them profitable again. Now, as most of you know, I retired in 2012, so this is early 2000s and mid 2000s we're talking about. But still, the game hasn't changed. It's still the same. And one of the very first things that I realized when I had the task of going in and trying to turn around a company is you pretty much have to start from scratch as far as the employees. So if a company had, let's say, 20 employees and the company had been losing money for a year and a half, there's going to be very few of those employees that you can actually keep. You're going to have to pretty much just go scorched earth, if you want to use that term. You got to fire them all and start from scratch, usually. And it is what it is. So I was reading this morning that Twitter has something like 4,000 employees. And I would assume a large portion of those employees, since I think they're based in San Francisco, don't want more free speech on the platform. They want less free speech on the platform. And I would also be willing to guess most of those employees don't like Musk, don't like the fact he's taking over the company, and are very woke, if you want to use that term. They're the moody, the millennials, if you want to use a character from my whiteboard videos. And I would not want to be in Musk's shoes because I know how hard it is to take over a company that is going in one direction and trying to make it go the other direction from a standpoint of profitability. I can't even comprehend how difficult it would be if they're going in the direction of censorship and disinformation, misinformation, and trying to get them to do a 180 to go in the direction of absolute free speech, especially when the majority of those 4,000 employees hate you. That is not good for business. So my point here, as far as the share price goes, I wouldn't expect much. In fact, I would expect I guess he's taking the company public, so it doesn't really matter. But I would expect that as far as from a standpoint of revenue, Twitter is going to go through some tough times in the next year or two, and it's going to be a big project to get them headed in the right direction. And you are going to be dealing with some internal battles that I don't know if Musk can comprehend. Because I don't think, and you guys may know this better than I do, but I don't think he's ever taken over a company and turned it around. I think he's just started companies from scratch. And I've done both. And obviously not at this level, but I still the psychological part of it is the same. And if he hasn't taken a company over that's going in one direction and trying to turn it around, I don't know that he knows what he is getting into. 4,000 people are difficult to manage. And I don't know that it's even possible to turn around 4,000 people. I mean, you'd probably have to fire 2,000 of them, half, something like that, and then kind of start from scratch and then work your way closer and closer to where you want the platform to be. But it's not going to be a smooth process. I mean, if any of you think that Musk is going to come in and just wave a magic wand and all of a sudden all 4,000 employees are going to be following him like the Pied Piper, guess again. And for those of you who have not run a business, you've got to understand that to a certain degree, you are held hostage by your employees, because you can't run that business on your own, not even close. And you're dealing with an environment where we have labor shortages, massive labor shortages, I would assume, especially in Silicon Valley. So where there's, let's say you've got 4,000 employees at Twitter, and let's just assume that 1,000 of them are key, like engineers that are almost impossible to replace. Like, what do you do if half of them walk out? I mean, I don't care how great Musk is. You're screwed. You are screwed. And that's a big problem. Now, I'm not saying that it's a problem without a solution, but I am saying it's a problem that takes a long, long time to fix. It doesn't happen overnight. And so expect a lot of volatility internally with Twitter for the next, I would say, at least a year or so. The announcement ends a week-long saga Musk kicked off when he disclosed a large stake in the company soon after the company said he would join the board, only for Musk to reverse course several days later. See, but maybe he does understand this concept that I'm referring to a little bit better, because I remember when he declined to go on the board, he said something to the effect that the company is just too far gone down this path, that in order for it to change course, it has to be private. So maybe he is a little more privy to this problem than I'm giving him credit for. Now, even if he's privy to it, that doesn't mean that he can solve it. those are two different things. So assuming the deal closes, Musk takes ownership of Twitter. The company will be controlled by the world's richest person. Here we go. And guys, you know I very rarely make predictions. But boy, oh boy, this is as close to a prediction as I will make. And that is, the media is going to do their best to make him look like J.D. Rockefeller, to make him look like one of these oligarchs, or to make him look like what was the name that they had for the J.D. Rockefellers back in the day? I'm sure you guys will put it in the chat here, you know, but one of these business owners that just is above the law and is just, you know, someone that we need to be scared of. So the company will be controlled by the world's richest man, richest person, and someone who has been a heavy critic of the platform while using it in legal contentious ways, mostly through sensitive posts about his car manufacturer, Tesla. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. Though Musk has indicated that his primary interest in Twitter has to do with the views and the company's censorship-free speech, Musk's critics are justifiably concerned that the billionaire's control over the platform will result in the... Why do they have to say justifiably? You see, these are the little cues. This is one of the things that I've really picked up since starting the Rebel Capitalist channel. I do two or three of these videos on the news every single day. And I didn't really pay much attention to their wording before I started the Rebel Capitalist channel. Now I see these trends subtly with the words they use, and the trends get bigger and bigger. They get more and more explicit, I think is the way to describe it, where it starts off just subtly throwing out these words, trying to paint a picture, and then it gets more and more and more extreme to the point where they're saying that he is public enemy number one. It just happens gradually. It's the same thing that they did with, pretty much everything over the last 2 years. Musk critics are justifiably concerned that the billionaire's control over the platform. And where's your proof there? As Thomas Sowell says, it's an argument without an argument. Are justifiably based on what? Justifiably concerned that the billionaire's control over the platform will result in the silencing of their voices and others with whom he may disagree. Okay, is this the pot not calling the kettle black? So the mainstream media and the central planners, the authoritarians, are on one hand, they're saying that Twitter needs to censor more. That Twitter needs to censor all of the disinformation and misinformation, but we don't want Elon Musk to own it, because then we're worrying about him censoring things that we don't want him to censor. So censoring is good when we're in control of it, but censoring is bad when someone who is outside of our control is controlling it. I mean, geez, come on. You know what's most shocking to me is that anyone trusts the mainstream. Like, who is that person that trusts the mainstream media? Who is that person that trusts the politicians, the authoritarians, the institution? At this point in time, the only way that you could trust these individuals is if you just weren't paying attention. That I'm convinced of that. Twitter's board sought to fend off hostile takeover by adopting so-called poison pill or shareholder rights agreements that would allow the shareholders. Yeah, okay, so that obviously didn't come to fruition. So then they go on to just kind of outline what's going on with Musk right now. And of course, they're going to bring up the SEC, which I think they should, but I don't think they're doing it to be thorough. I think they're doing it to start painting the picture and to start putting him in that compartment. I mean, they did the same thing with, I don't want to go off on a completely separate tangent, so I'll shelf that. But I mean, it's just, you know, the same thing with the truckers. It's just every single group or individual that they want to make people believe is a bad guy. Again, going back to that flaw in our human psyche that we tend to oversimplify things and just we want people to be either bad or good so we can take teams. That's the way the media, you know, that's why they set up Russia, Ukraine. Oh, it's as simple as good versus evil. I mean, give me a break. And I think wait for the next 2 or 3 months here. And wow, they are really going to go after Musk, in my opinion. You know, he's getting to the point where he is a threat. You know, it's just like Trump, and I'm not no fan of Trump. You guys that really watch my videos know that. Some people that just watch a couple videos say, oh, well, you know, he's a Trump supporter. Ugh. Just absolute nonsense. I was very, very critical of Trump, especially for his economic views. I mean, just wanted to take interest rates negative and give me a break. It's a bull in a china shop there. But, you know, once Trump got to a point where I think the global elite saw him as a threat, then you got a sick, you know, it's like Mr. Burns, you got to release the hounds. And I think that Musk is getting to that point where they are saying, okay, now he's a threat to our objective here. You know, Smithers, release the hounds type thing. So I could go on, but I think you guys get it. What I want to also point out is we talked about the share price. We talked about how the company most likely, in my opinion, will struggle internally, to say the least. Over the next few months, I mean, you could have massive amounts of people just quit. I mean, they could hold the company hostage by if you get a large percentage of the people quitting that are key employees, Twitter can't function. I would not be surprised if you see something like that. On the other hand, like looking at the glass half full, I think this could be a huge, huge turning point for free speech globally. And it could be a huge turning point in our battle against the authoritarians and the global elite. From a standpoint of, let's just assume for a moment that Elon Musk is able to pull this off and what he says his intentions are actually what his intentions are. So, you know, he's being forthright. There's not something going on behind the scenes here that we don't know about. He's just using this as a PR move to, you know, take everyone's attention off of Tesla losing market share or something. I mean, who knows? I wouldn't put it past him. But let's just take him at his word and assume that he pulls this off. And Twitter is, I know he made a reference the other day that I thought was very good. He said something to the, and I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect that if Twitter is pissing off the 10% on the far left equally to how much it's pissing off the 10% on the far right, then that's perfect. That's what we want. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. So if he is going to pursue this absolute free speech approach with Twitter, I think that's a huge win because for lack of a better phrase or term, it gives us kind of a safe space, if you will, that you can actually, you don't have to censor yourself, that you can actually say what you want. I don't have to, you know, lately I've been saying COVID more because I don't think it's as big of a deal. But you guys know what I had to do back in 2020. I mean, that was ridiculous. I'd always say the cerveza sickness or the medicine or this or that. Even when I had a conversation with my good friend Simon Black, instead of saying the medicine, we had to say bananas, or, you know, we had to come. It's childish. It's ridiculous. And another thing too, I believe that there's a lot of very intelligent people that would have a much, much different opinion of the medicine, let's say, or of the things that happened with the cerveza sickness, if Twitter would have been completely free speech absolutist, would not have, you know, labeled things misinformation, disinformation, because people, I think, would have a much more educated view. You know, it's interesting that the people that are more libertarian and free market, I think they have a big advantage because they have to listen to a media that, with the exception of Fox, is very, very, very progressive, very authoritarian, very central planner, very, I don't want to use the word socialist, but I think you probably could go that far. So we always hear this. You know, the people that are very pro-freedom and liberty and free market capitalism and the Constitution and whatnot, sound money, we hear the other side constantly, constantly, constantly. And I think that gives us a big edge, where the people on that side, they never hear our view, ever. They can just survive in this bubble where they surround themselves with all of their Moody the Millennial friends, and then the only thing they listen to is CNN, and then Twitter just kind of protects them in this cocoon of their own propaganda through confirmation bias and things that we seek out naturally as human beings, another flaw. But they never get the full scope of the information. They never see both sides of the argument, where I think those, like I said earlier, those who stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capital, they do get both, because they get that side of it, but then they also get the side of it with the mainstream media, because they can't not, because they're bombarded by it, whether it's through the news, through entertainment, through the education system, or these social media platforms themselves. So again, if he pursues this policy that he is saying, and it's not like the Cybertruck, then I think this could be huge. This could be absolutely huge. And I think it is a massive opportunity for Twitter to really take a lot of market share over their competitors, because they pursue this. Now, I think what you could have is you could have a lot of the media types and the mainstream narrative types just quit Twitter and maybe start their own. I mean, that's another thing that could happen here that would be fascinating, is we see more decentralization, but not just from the people who are more freedom oriented being pissed off at Twitter and starting their own thing, like, let's call it Gab or one of these others, but maybe the people, and I was hearing someone talk about this on a podcast the other day. I wish I could give them credit where it's due, but I apologize. I can't remember who said this, but they made a great point where they said, if Elon takes over Twitter, then you could get a lot of the people that are more progressive or have these more authoritarian views, although they would see it as protecting democracy, starting their own Twitters, where they had more censorship than Twitter, where any speech other than the approved narrative would be completely, entirely banned. Now, I think that would collapse in on itself like a dying star, because they would just turn into cannibals where, you know, they were just banning everybody, and just that Overton window just kept expanding and expanding. You know how it works. But so there's a lot of unknowns, but I think there's some room for careful optimism, I think, is the way that I will describe it, in that this could be a dawning of a new day here, where we can actually speak freely, and to Musk's point, it becomes a public square where we can actually debate these topics. I mean, go back to the cerveza sickness with all of these Malone types, right? And Peter McCullough, who where they can actually have the same voice as the scientists that are in the mainstream, and that these individuals can actually go back and forth. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all I wanted. That's all I ever wanted is just, and I'd like it to be not just on Twitter, but on YouTube or any of the mainstream outlets, especially on YouTube, that'd be fantastic, where we would have these old school type long form debates where, I mean, let's just get Rogan in there as the moderator, as an example, where he gets like Peter McCullough and McCullough debates the guy, Gupta or whatever his name is, from CNN. And let's just hash this out and make it live. So it's impossible to censor. It's impossible to edit. And let's just let everyone watch. I mean, think about the ratings that would get first and foremost. And then think about how beneficial that would be to society. Just let both sides get out there and hash it out in a way that's respectful, and have someone like Rogan moderate. And then let's have a 3-hour debate like one of Rogan's normal podcasts, and in a structured format, and then let people come to their own conclusions. And then those people who are in the debate, let them provide their own source documents that Rogan could put into the show notes so people could click on it and they could follow, you know, not just their arguments, but the references and the facts and the data and the studies that they're using to back up their view. That this is what we need. This is what we need. But for some reason, it's, you know, I may be biased here, but for some reason, it seems like one side of the argument is really thirsty for open debate. And the other side of the argument that, ironically enough, is claiming that free speech is the first step to destroying democracy, they want nothing to do with open debate whatsoever. And I think that's very telling, that if I felt as though I didn't have the facts and the data on my side, I wouldn't want to participate in open debate either. And so it kind of makes you wonder. But bottom line here is, I think this could be a new beginning. And maybe Twitter will have a video type of format in the future where we encourage these types of debates. And if they, you know, listen, at the end of the day, I think if they get enough viewership, maybe not. I was going to say, at the end of the day, if they get enough viewership, maybe it'll encourage those people that have more of the mainstream view to participate in these open debates. But yeah, maybe not. But we'll have to see how it plays out. So again, I think there's room for careful optimism with Elon Musk buying Twitter. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, for liberty, for free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.